Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversations with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our guest tonight is Dick Calder, Deputy Director for Administration of the Central Intelligence Agency. Welcome, Dick.
Well, good to be here tonight, Paul.
And joining me in our conversation is Ian Littman. Ian's a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and also the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. Welcome, Ian.
Great to be here.
Well, Dick, in this first segment, why don't we begin by finding out more about the Central Intelligence Agency? I mean, the public clearly knows the brand, and we've all read the books about it, but I don't think many of us know how the agency is organized. Could you begin by talking about the organization?
Yeah, I'll do that very briefly, Paul. The agency is really built on four pillars. One of those pillars is the Directorate of Intelligence. That is really responsible for the evaluation, analysis, production, and dissemination of all source intelligence on key foreign policy issues. This is really the key analytical core of the agency, and they provide all source products to consumers throughout the government. The second pillar is the Directorate of Operations, and they do clandestine collection of foreign intelligence, including human source intelligence. This is the directorate that does clandestine operations overseas and provides the product that our analysts find critical to doing the analysis and reporting that they do. The third pillar is the Directorate of Science and Technology, and they're responsible for creating and applying innovative technology to meet today's intelligence needs. They are engaged in all phases of the intelligence process. And the fourth pillar is the directorate for which I am responsible, and that's the Director of Administration. And while we do not do mission, we enable mission. We do provide all the critical infrastructure pieces, and this is from finance to human resources to logistics to medical services, information technology, communications, all of those things that make any vibrant organization work well.
Dick, you've had a distinguished career at the CIA. Can you tell us a little bit more about your career at the agency and the various positions you've held?
Yes, I've actually been with the agency for about over 30 years. Hard to believe. Started in the mid 1960s, actually as a communicator. Worked one overseas tour, and decided to go back to the university and finish my degree. I came back to the agency again in 1973 as a career trainee. Following my about a year of training, I took Arabic language training and then spent six or seven tours overseas, mainly in the Middle East, but some tours in Europe as well. After that, I came back and ran some of the senior offices in the Directorate of Operations, mainly for human resources and operations and management issues. And then I moved into the job that I'm in today in 1995.
Was it difficult to shift from field operations to administration?
Initially, yes. I had been a customer of the Directorate of Administration, so I understood how it worked. But now actually becoming the provider of those services and having to deal with some of the very difficult issues that we deal with in a demanding, ever-changing environment, it took me a little time to actually begin to understand and figure out what areas I wanted to focus on. But because I understood the culture of the organization, the culture of the agency, the change wasn't that difficult.
What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the CIA since you started, and what changes have you seen in the federal government overall?
In many ways, I think the agency has changed more in the last decade than it did in the previous 40 years. Up until the start of the 1990s, the biggest strategic threat was the Soviet Union, and that's really gone, and that's not going to come back. Threats today are more diverse and dispersed. Our intelligence priorities shift continuously, presenting a much tougher environment for our collectors and for our analysts. The post-Cold War challenge is increased. The challenges are increased by information. By the information revolution, by telecommunications. And fundamentally, all those issues are transforming the globe, transforming the way that we look at policy concerns and the way that we look at security issues. And the one thing that I think that is really critically important is that everything seems to be moving much faster today than it ever did before. We had seemed to have much more time to plan, much more time to make thoughtful considerations. Today, we just simply don't have that luxury anymore. The one thing that I see is that the director has really, Director Tenet, has recognized this clearly and has really set a strategic direction for the agency that calls on us to try and step up to these challenges in ways that we haven't done before. And he recognizes more than ever that the intelligence business is fundamentally about skills and expertise. And this really means it's about people. People in whom we need to invest more in order to deal with the vast array of complex challenges we face over the next generation. And he has made this sort of the centerpiece of his strategic direction, the centerpiece of what we're trying to do right now is develop the skills, develop the talent, develop the people that we will need to meet the many challenges that we are going to have to face in the next decade. And of course, there are new technologies out there that we are going to have to master as well. So these are the kinds of changes that I'm seeing today at the agency.
How about the changes that you've seen in the federal government overall, the entire government operation?
In some ways, I think that those are some of the things that we're talking about, particularly in the information revolution. I just filed my taxes, and I filed it by email. Today you can go online to just about any government organization and pull down the information that you need to get whatever thing that it is that you have to have done. This is a bigger. This is a much different world that we're living in terms of the government's need to meet the consumer's demands in different ways. No longer are people content with 800 numbers. No longer do people want to write letters and wait 3, 4, 5 weeks for responses. Again, it's that speed issue. People want to deal. They want answers to their questions. They want those now. And I think that this is over and over I see the government trying to respond to this. Even CIA has a website today. In fact, if I can plug it, I'd like to do that. For those that would like to have a look at that website, it's www.cia.gov. All of us are trying to reach both the consumers of our products and those interested in us in a variety of ways that just simply weren't there 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, what are the challenges managing at the CIA versus another organization? I mean, I think it is interesting that you have a website, but I would expect that the website is somewhat particular and unique given your mission. So what are the challenges of managing in this environment?
Well, one, I think it is it's the shifting, the uncertainty of the external environment, which requires the organization to be much more flexible today than I think we were in the past. As I said, when the Soviet Union existed, that afforded us a certain degree of stability, a certain degree of ability to focus on a single target. Today, those targets are much more diverse. The interests of our policy community is much more diverse. And the time float. If you think about a crisis that erupts in one part of the world, CNN and others are almost immediately there. So the pressure on our policymakers to make decisions, the pressure on our customers to respond are much greater. Therefore, we have to be more responsive in terms of being able to meet the needs of those customers as they try to address these issues. In terms of the administrative side, this means that as our internal customers respond to these issues, we also have to be there in a more agile fashion so that we can enable them to do the kinds of things that they understand have to be done. From information technology, our communications, even being able to help them file travel claims more quickly, the expectation is that we will be much more responsive than we have been in the past. It's the dot-coms that are killing us. Everybody has experience. Today, if we put out an application that is, more, 3 mouse clicks or more, there's little tolerance for that. So people say, why can't you do it better? Why can't you do it like I do Amazon.com or one of those others that people are familiar with? So that's a real challenge for us.
Well, great. And it's time for a break. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour in just a minute.